The Navi Yeshayah, Isaiah, prophesied about the destruction of the first temple, and he lived in the period towards the end of the first temple. He was a descendant of the Judean family, meaning the kings he's talking to are his relatives. It's his cousin. It's his cousin once removed. It's his uncle. He's talking to people in his family. Ultimately, his own grandson kills him. His own grandson is the king Menashe, and his own grandson is the wicked king Menashe, who brought about the destruction of the first temple, and he executes his own grandfather, the prophet Isaiah. What happened is Yeshaya's daughter married her second cousin, the king Chizkiyo's son. Chizkiyo had children? No, married Chizkiyo, his second cousin Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo married Isaiah's daughter. And then they had a son named Menashe. And then that son, Menashe, ultimately killed his own grandfather, the Navi Yeshaya. So that Yeshaya speaks about the destruction of the first temple. He also speaks about the building of the future temple, the return of Israel to the land of Israel. So the Navi Yeshaya is really divided into two sections. The first section focuses on the destruction, and the second section focuses on the rebuilding. As we will see, the second section is really, part of it is the prophecies of the rebuilding of the second temple, but much of it is the prophecies of the return of Israel and the ultimate building of Israel in the land of Israel. So that's that we have yet to see. We'll get to that in a few months. Right now, we're up to what's called the 14th chapter. We try to accomplish between 10 to 15 psukim each Friday. It was voted that I should read the verses with the traditional tune. If you find that that bothers you, so give it a week or two, and then you'll tell me if the vote is to drop the tune, we can drop the tune. But for now, we'll continue the way we've been doing it until now. I read the verse with the traditional tune, and then we try to explain, to understand what's going on. So let's begin. You notice that the Christians divided the Tanakh into chapters. Most of that division is not our tradition. There are a few places where they took from our tradition. This is an interesting example. It begins with key, because. Everyone knows you don't begin a sentence with because. And really it's a continuation of what we had read in the previous verses. But the Christians divided it into its own chapter. So, we had read about the destruction of Babylon. The Navi had described how cruel the Babylonians were to the Jewish people as they destroyed the first temple. And then the Navi described how God would take them to task and ultimately bring Babylon down to its knees and destroy the Babylonian Empire. And then the Navi continues and says, Ki yirachem Adonai et Yaakov uvachar od b'Yisrael v'hinicham al admatam. The destruction of Babylon is nearing, says the Navi. And when the Babylonian Empire crumbles, then Hashem will express His mercy, His compassion for Jacob, for the people of Israel. Uvachar od b'Yisrael. Hashem will choose the Jewish people. He will further indicate that they are His chosen people. V'hinicham al admatam. And He will place them, they will settle on their land. And here there are two interpretations to this verse. One interpretation, the simple reading of the verse, is that this is the description of how Israel will return to the land of Israel to rebuild the second temple. But others say that the Navi is describing two stages. He is fusing two redemptions. He is describing the redemption of Israel at the hands of Koresh. He is describing the redemption of Israel in the period where they left Babylon and rebuilt the second temple. Uvachar od b'Yisrael, and then he shifts and says, but I want you to know, God will continue to choose Israel, v'inicham al admatam, and bring them back to settle their land as the Messiah approaches. Others learn that the Navi is describing two stages. One is imminent. God is saying in 70 years, or about 90 years, they're coming back. And it's not only about their return to the Second Temple, but there will be an ultimate return, which will be settling the land of Israel with the Mashiach. Did you guys notice a subtle point here? If the Navi is describing two redemptions, there's also a subtle hint to the fact that the redemption in 90 years is not the end all. Meaning he's hinting to the fact that there's still going to be a second destruction. And this is something we find throughout the prophets. That even before we entered the land of Israel the first time, it was obvious to the prophets that it would be destroyed. As they're leaving Egypt, we have verses that indicate, you're all going to Israel, it's going to be great until the destruction. There are verses that clearly indicate that the first ascent to Israel was with the understanding that it was finite. We were not going to last. Moshe Rabbeinu says it explicitly in the parashiot we read now. He says, I know that after I die, you guys will start turning to idol worship. I know you will not last in the land of Israel. Scary thought. They haven't yet entered, and he's already telling them, I know you're not going to last. And here we find another indication that even before the first temple was destroyed, the prophets were telling the people, don't worry. After that destruction, you're going to come back. You're going to make it back to the land of Israel. And we know you're not going to last then either. Meaning, they're still in the first temple period, and the prophets are telling them, look, it's a goner, the first temple is going to be destroyed, but don't worry, you're coming back, and then that's going to get destroyed too, but don't worry, you're going to come back after that too. And we already saw that in the Navi Zechariah. But the Navi Zechariah was at least more palatable because the Navi Zechariah was speaking to them during the Second Temple period. The Navi Zechariah was talking to them when they were building the Second Temple. And then we expanded on the importance of this message because people tend to attempt to focus their religion on something physical. For some people, their religion revolves around their Rebbe. For some people, their religion revolves around their shul. For some people, their religion revolves around their community. For some people, their religion revolved around the temple. And the Nevi'im always warned us, the religion revolves around your connection with God. Some people, their whole religion is Zionism. And if there isn't a state, if there isn't the land of Israel, so then don't talk to me about Judaism. None of that is right. The religion, Judaism, is your connection with God, God's connection with you. And the religion stands whether your rabbi's around, whether your rebbe's around, whether your prophet's around, whether your synagogue's around, whether your temple's around, whether your state is around, whether your land is around. And every time there is a fracture in one of these great edifices, it could be the temple, it could be the rebbe, it could be the prophet, it could be Moshe Rabbeinu, you find people stumbling. People are in doubt. And that's one of the phenomenal points that the prophets stressed. When we look at the prophets and they warn us, you're going to come back, but you should know that temple's going to be destroyed too, so we could look at it and get depressed, or we could look at it and understand that the prophets were giving us a very important message. One of the things I always warn students who are in the gear process is don't create idols. There's this tendency to think, my Rebbe, he's the giant, he's perfect, he's the greatest. And then what happens if people say he embezzled funds? I'm not saying it's true, but does your whole religion go down the tubes? You know, that can happen. We're all human. Even if you end up finding out that he did something wrong, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But the religion is not about him. The religion is you and God. And even if one day you discover, hey, he's not what I thought he was, that should not affect your connection to Hashem. It's hard. That's true. That's the whole concept of Chilul Hashem. It weakens us, but we have to temper that. We have to be prepared to realize that whatever happens, that should not affect my connection. You know, when the temple was destroyed, so the elders came to the prophet Yechezkel and said, we want out. Obviously, we're divorced, right? Why do we have to keep mitzvos? If God destroyed the temple and banished us from the land of Israel, so what do we have to keep the Torah for? And that's a natural inclination. Every person, when a pivotal part of his life is destroyed, so he has to question, so what remains? And the prophet tells them that that has nothing to do with it. With or without a temple, you're obligated to the Torah. So the Navi over here, when he's indicating there's yet to be a Messiah, and he's making the subtle point, which is the second temple's also going to go, he's giving them an important message. Your connection to God cannot be focused only on that building. V'nilva hager aleihem. The Navi says, when they make that great ascent to the land of Israel, there will be so many people converting to Judaism. V'nilva hager aleihem. V'nispechu al Beit Yaakov. You will have all these people gathering and joining the house of Yaakov. Now, when we learn Tanakh, we have to fine-tune our ears. There are codes in Tanakh. And if we learn the codes, then we can decipher part of the hidden message of the Navi. One of the codes is that the people of Israel have different names in Tanakh. Sometimes we're called Yisrael, sometimes we're called Yeshurun, sometimes we're called Ami, sometimes we're called Levi, Levi'ah, the female lion. Sometimes we're called Yaakov. We have many different names in Tanakh. Sometimes we're called Imecha, your mother. Different names in Tanakh. The name Yaakov stems from the word either Akev, heel, or Okba, twisted. The name Yaakov is not complementary to the people of Israel. The name Yaakov indicates the people of Israel in their lowest form. Meaning we're sometimes Yisrael, we're sometimes the great people of Israel, and we're sometimes referred to as Yaakov, that lowly nation. What did the Navi just tell us? Now that we know that code, let's read the verse. Because God will have mercy over Yaakov. Even if we're in the state of Yaakov, in the lower state, God will still have mercy over us. Uvacharod be Yisrael. Notice the Navi switched terms. He will bring us back to our land. Nations will join us. They will join the house of Yaakov. Even though we're not yet up there. So some want to say that this is a prophecy about our times. Today we have such an influx of converts. Ever since the destruction of the second temple, I don't think we ever had a period in Jewish history with such an influx. You know, during the period of the destruction of the second temple, you had tens of thousands of Romans converting to Judaism. Interesting. They just saw us destroyed, and so many of them wanted to join. And the same thing now. You have many, many Germans. We have, I think it's thousands of people from Germany and other countries in Europe that are converting to Judaism. So some want to say that's a fulfillment of this. We're coming back, and so many people are joining. I don't know. Maybe.
I remember reading an article posted on Twitter one time, like the grandkids or something like that, of Hitler himself, you know, did they end up converting in Italy or something, no?
I know Rommel's children and grandchildren. I know other generals of Hitler converted, but I don't know if it's Hitler himself, his grandchildren. Those what? His nephew, that I know, yeah. That's also true. Beit Yaakov is sometimes the women. That's true too. That's true also. That's also true. Beit Yaakov is often a reference to the women, not only, right? Remind me at the end of class to make a comment off the record. No, it's a good point, but there's what to be said about that. Okay, let's try to do one more verse. We spent a lot of time on the introduction. Usually we try to do half a chapter, but we'll do one more verse, and then we'll pick up here next week, Bezat Shem. Ulkachum amim beviyum el mekomam. Nations will take them and bring them to their place. That's a very interesting word, because many people sense this. They come to Israel and suddenly they feel like, I'm home. People who had nothing to do with it, they don't speak the language. This is called our place. Nations will take them and bring them to their place. Ve'itnachalum beit Yisrael. And the people of Israel will take their heritage. The land of Israel will take them. They will take the land of Israel. Al admat Adonai la'avadim v'lishfachot. They will have many people coming who will become a part of Israel by serving Israel. They will become servants. They will become maids in the land of Israel. And they will become parts of families that way. That will be their way of joining. V'hayu shovim l'shoviyem v'radu b'nogeseyem. And Israel will be successful militarily, and Israel will capture those nations that had previously captured Israel, and Israel will control those nations that had previously persecuted them. V'radu b'nogeseyem. They will control. They will take rule over those that had persecuted them previously. So this has not happened, right? So you can't say this has happened yet. I don't think so. Okay, we'll pick up here with Zachem next week.